From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines this hour. I'll give you the numbers in just a moment. And next hour, Dr. Nick Begich, our guest, mind control technology. Big stuff. So get ready for that. Hey, do you ever have one of those days? You know, one of those days. I did today. I'll tell you about it in just a moment. Some of the stories of the day. Two journalists should be jailed for refusing to reveal their confidential sources to a grand jury investigating the leak of a covert CIA operative's name to the news media, according to a federal prosecutor. Special counsel Patrick Fitzgerald has urged Chief U.S. District Judge Thomas Hogan to reject requests from New York Times correspondent Judith Miller and Time Magazine reporter Matthew Cooper for home detention instead of jail. This is not a good story for America. This is a quote here. Journalists are not entitled to promise of confidentiality. No one in America is, according to Fitzgerald. He's a U.S. Justice Department prosecutor. He wrote in one of his court findings. He said he would defer to the judge on whether the two journalists should be confined in the Washington, D.C. jail or in some other nearby federal detention facility. The judge has scheduled a hearing on Wednesday to consider the punishment for Miller and Cooper for refusing to disclose their sources and comply with a subpoena requiring them to turn over documents and testify before the grand jury. They've been found in contempt by Hogan, and each could be jailed up to 120 days. The investigation seeks to determine who in the Bush administration leaked information of CIA operative Valerie Plame in 2003. Her husband, Joseph Wilson, a diplomat in the Clinton administration, has accused the White House of being responsible for this leak. He said officials did so because Wilson had publicly disputed a pre-war President Bush about Iraq's attempts to buy nuclear weapons and parts. Methamphetamine has overtaken cocaine now as the biggest drug problem in the United States, according to a major crime survey across 45 states. A survey of 500 law enforcement agencies found that meth-related arrests had gone up over the past 3 years. More than half of the police, sheriff departments, and other agencies polled said the highly addictive substance was their largest drug problem now. Less than 20% singled out cocaine and fewer still pointed to marijuana. Methamphetamine is a chemical variant with much more powerful side effects and can be made in the home, around farms. It's being made a lot in rural areas. I know in Missouri it's being done a lot, and police just cannot stay on top of this thing. Men who took aspirin over 5 years slightly lowered their risk for prostate cancer, but women who took low doses over 10 years didn't reduce their risk of cancer, according to two separate studies. The conflicting results don't help settle the debate about whether aspirin and similar anti-inflammatory medicines could be used to prevent cancer. Now, doctors familiar with the research think different study designs and aspirin doses explain the contrasting findings. They simply say the study involving nearly 40,000 women is among the longest aspirin cancer studies to date and used doses a little higher than in baby aspirin, taken every other day and compared against the dummy pills, sugar pills. It found no effect on lymphoma, breast, or other similar cancers for women. Tropical storm Cindy began moving ashore Tuesday night, pelting the Louisiana coast with heavy rain and squalls. A parish out there, St. Bernard Parish, spokesperson said that the low-lying coastal parish has seen much worse, but the residents were still keeping a watchful eye on the storm, as well as now Tropical Storm Dennis, which was brewing out there in the Caribbean, but would likely arrive in the Gulf of Mexico area by the weekend. Well, they say now that dolphins develop names for each other so they can keep in touch just in case they get into trouble, according to a new research study for this. Academics at St. Andrews University's Sea Mammal Unit used very sophisticated listening devices to record sounds made by dolphins They discover that dolphins use recognition signals, which are almost as versatile as human names. A biologist says that these animals live in dark, cold, high-pressure conditions, and in such an environment, it is crucial that they have an effective and fail-safe system to stay in touch with each other. He says, no, they don't have names like humans, but they have recorded sounds for specific dolphins, so they're able to find each other and communicate. It's pretty remarkable. Go to the coasttocoastam.com website. Take a look at the story, hot stories called Footprints of First Americans. Human settlers made it to the Americas 30,000 years earlier than previously thought, according to new evidence. A team of scientists came to this controversial conclusion by dating human footprints preserved by volcanic ash in an abandoned quarry in Mexico. They say the first Americans may have arrived by sea rather than by foot. The traditional view is that the continent's early settlers arrived around 11,000 years ago by crossing a land bridge between Siberia and Alaska. Now they think, nope, that is not the case. A Russian astrologist, by the way, says that NASA has altered her horoscope by crashing a spacecraft into a comet and is now suing the U.S. Space Agency for $300 million. NASA, she says, deliberately crashed its probe, Deep Impact, and that now is playing havoc with her horoscope, distorting everything, all the information. So she wants the money as damages. Fat chance of getting that. Now, you know, when I told you earlier that I'm having one of those days, yes, I am. I might as well tell you about this story because you are family to me, so you might as well know about this one. You know, my son graduated with his degree in criminal justice. And he decided he wanted to be a police officer, which I found pretty admirable, though I never thought that he had the temperament to be a police officer. But that's what he wanted. And, you know, as a parent, as a father, I do not steer any of my children into anything that they don't want to do. And I support their decisions. Well, in this particular case, he calls me this morning. He's been in the police academy in St. Louis, and he has decided that he does not and cannot be a police officer. And we talked for a long time about this. It was disappointing in because, you know, he had 4 years of law enforcement, and he really doesn't know now at the age of 23 what he wants to do. But he just said, Dad, I can't do it. I mean, there's some things that we saw on video today and some specific things that I just can't do. And so I support that decision. I mean, it's his life. But that's one of those phone calls today. And then I got to tell you this. When I first came to Los Angeles, there's been some tremendous people in this city who have been just warm and helpful and everything else. And there's a friend of mine who works at a local hotel in Beverly Hills, and he's responsible for a lot of things. He's been just a great guy. And when I first came to town and didn't know anybody, I mean, he was just very friendly, pointed some things out for me, places to go and things like that. Just a great guy. And I told him last year, I said, hey, whatever you want for Christmas, just let me know. It's yours. I do these off-the-wall things like that every once in a while. And he said, sure. And, you know, one day I was there, and he said, you know what I'd like, and I don't want to ask you, but I'm going to tell you. And I said, sure, what is it? And he said, a puppy. And I went, what? And he said, yeah, a puppy. And I said, all right, consider it done. Just find what you want, and I'll take care of it for you. And Merry Christmas. So he did. He got one of those little Maltese-type puppies, and he was very happy, and I took care of it. And, you know, off he went with his puppy. Well, today I had a meeting in Los Angeles. In, if you know L.A. traffic, this was a 4 o'clock meeting. It got finished at about 5:15 or so. You can't travel to where we are and where our studios are in that kind of traffic when you're done at 5 o'clock or so. You can't do it. So I had to wait about an hour and a half or two for traffic to subside. And once I did, I was able to get back here in time. If I had left at 5 o'clock, I would have gotten here at the same time when I left at 7. I mean, that's how bad traffic is in between. So I decided to drop off at this place, got my iced tea, and decided to kill an hour and a half and just wait. And he was there, and he was very upset. I mean, he had been crying all day. His eyes were puffy and everything else. And I said, hey, what's wrong? And apparently, when he was on vacation, he had someone take care of his house and the dog. And every once in a while, they would go outside and put the dog in a cage so it could be outside, but they didn't want it wandering all over the place. And you would put the dog in the cage by the top. The top would lift up. Well, apparently what happened, it wasn't fastened, and a coyote came down from the hills and somehow got the cage open and killed the little puppy. I mean, it's just a horrible story, and he can't take it anymore. You know, I may end up getting him another one for Christmas, but I got to tell you, that is my day today. So we're going to open up the phone lines for you. Maybe you can bring us some better stories, huh? West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. Our first-time caller line, that's open for you at 818-501-4721. By the way, these lines get filled up very quickly. And the wild card line, that's ready for you right now. Speed dial, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie. And this is Coast to Coast AM. Well, okay, welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and let's go to our first-time caller line. Where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Where are you?
I'm in Peoria, Arizona.
Well, welcome to the program, and what is on your mind tonight?
Well, George, you're number eight. I went to Vegas, and I took my eight, and I went up to this machine, and I had my eight there close to the machine, and on the third stand, I hit for $4,000.
I love it. Now, don't abuse it, because you'll lose it all.
Oh, I won't. I won't. But I thought you'd like to know that it really works.
I bet.
So I sent my sister's numbers to go and try it in Atlantic City. So hopefully they will do that. Well,
good for you. Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate
thank you,
it.
Bye.
I bet if we added up the amount of fortunes people have picked up since we talked about the number eight, I bet it's in the millions of dollars. I really do. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, welcome. Where are you?
My name is Wayne. I'm calling from Oregon.
Hi, Wayne. Sure.
Yeah, I had kind of a bad night. I was listening to your story. I'm sorry about your son's career choice.
Well, I know. It's his call. And,
yeah, last night about 1 o'clock, cat I've had for about 6.5 years, couldn't stand up, and I called the number, and of course everyone's on vacation, so I had to drive.
Oh, no.
Well, I actually took a cab because I'd had a few, but about 10 miles away, and anyhow, she had a condition called cardiomyopathy, and blood clots had got into her legs, and it was very painful for her, and she had to be euthanized.
6.5 years old?
Yeah, but it gets better, okay? They had a couple of kittens there, and I took one of them. I came back today and got one of them, so, you know, life goes on.
You know, it's interesting how that works in some cases,
yeah.
Where, you know, there's a loss, but all of a sudden there's also something to minimize the pain. It doesn't make it go away, but it sure helps.
I've lost five of them over the years. You kind of get used to it in a way, but there's a lot of irresponsible people out there who let their animals have kids.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
I'm glad it worked out for you. Next up, East of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, it's nice to talk to you.
Thanks.
This is Scott calling from Cleveland.
Sure, Scott.
I'm a police officer. I've been working here for about 5 years now, and I'm sorry to hear about your son, but it's better to find out while you're in academy than to get into the job and find out that.
And you know, Scott, just you still with me?
Yeah, oh,
yeah. There you are. Okay, just Friday, you know, I went back to St. Louis to spend some time when I was on vacation. And Friday, he was telling me, he said, Dad, this was a rough week, but you know what? I got through it, and I think it's clear sailing for me. And he had like 23 more weeks to go. And I kept saying to myself, you know, this is just a, you know, he just, it's not like we babied him when he was a kid, but he just, to me, he didn't have that kind of mindset. And yet, you know, he seemed focused and determined, and I went, go for it, Jonathan.
Well, with a degree, I mean, there's plenty of different aspects, instead of being a police officer, that he can really help people with, if that's what he wants to do.
That's my concern. I hope there's something he can do now with his 4 years of criminal justice.
Oh, yeah.
And get out there and do something.
All right, well, I work permanent midnight shift, and I love the show. Keep
okay,
up
you too. Be safe. Let's go now to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You are with me on the air, and where might you be?
Bakersfield.
Oh, well, Bakersfield, California,
not far from you, except that we're a lot hotter than you are right now.
Yeah.
Hey, I know what your screener said was it's a buzzkill, but I need some advice. My son, who's 6th going into 7th grade, today came home, and his teacher, one of his teachers in summer school, asked the kids in the class, does anybody know who could take my dog? I need to get rid of it because we live in a neighborhood where I've had 2 or 3 dogs killed, and I don't want another one killed. And it's like my son has been crying all afternoon because I told him, no, we can't take another dog. We have one. We leave her at home a lot alone, and I feel guilty enough. And I said, I can't believe your teacher put that on you guys.
Who or what has been killing animals in your neighborhood?
I have no idea. I would say it's who, and I don't know what area she lives in. But it's like, why does she keep getting dogs? You know? And so I finally told him, I said, we cannot take the dog and keep it. What I will do is, if nobody else will take the dog by the time this week's over and school's over, I can take the dog and then turn it over to the SPCA at least to give it a chance.
Well, I was going to say, they'll find it a good home, I trust.
Exactly.
They won't euthanize the animal, will they?
But no, you know, our SPCA is very good. They are very diligent and trying to place dogs before they do anything with them. However, we're very full up here. Both our SPCA and our county dog pound are very full up here. But they do everything in their power to get the dogs placed.
Got a friend of mine who's a very prominent talk show host in St. Louis, and he's at our affiliate KTRS there. And he lost his dog a few years ago because somebody in their neighborhood shot it.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he had shot one or two others, and they could never catch him.
Right.
And, you know, so you can't prove it. But he knew that this guy had done that.
Yes, and it's so sad, but gosh, listen to this story, people, and don't take dogs if you can't take care of them.
Yeah, that is absolutely true.
Anyway, and don't put it on a child. My poor son, he's just, you know, both of my sons are, you know, very into their animals, and he just said, I don't want another dog killed. Can't we please take it?
So. Have you noticed, by the way, I have a simple test about people and personalities.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody who can't take care of a pet should have one.
Right.
However, I do think that people have to be animal lovers. And I like to encircle my friends with people who love animals. And, you know, and again, not all of them own animals. They don't have pets because they have a lifestyle where they're not able to do that. I can't do that now because of what I do and how I travel, and I go all over the place, and it's not fair to the animal.
But you can tell when people are around your animals, whether they're animal lovers and whether they're decent people a lot of times, by the way, your animal.
I met somebody about 6 months ago, and she said, I hate animals. I hate dogs, and I hate cats.
Oh.
And I'm saying, wait a minute, how can you hate something like that? I mean, you don't have to own one.
Yeah.
But
it's hard to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is.
Thank you for listening.
Okay. Good luck.
Uh-huh.
Open lines will continue. By the way, if you need to email me, that's simple. It's George at Coast2TO, coasttocoastam.com. That'll get right to me. And I was lucky enough to have a computer with me when I was on vacation, so I was able to keep on top of my emails. If not, I probably would have had about 7,000 waiting for me when I got back. So I took care of that. So anything that you have, questions about the program and the show and things like that, just direct it to me. If there's specific things about the website and you send it to me, I just forward that on to Lex and I let him work on that. Lots of interesting things happening there and all good stuff. We need some good stuff. I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment. Open lines continue right here on Coast to Coast AM. When I was in sixth grade, my vision in one of my eyes started to go a little bit, and I needed to wear glasses, and I hated them at the time because, you know, I just didn't want to wear them. So I had one eye that was strong enough, and it balanced the one that wasn't, and so for a couple of years, I didn't need any, and then eventually I did, and then I moved into contacts and things. Well, several years ago, I think it's been about 4.5 years now, I got LASIK eye surgery, and I got to tell you, what an incredible difference that has made. My long vision is 20/15 right now, and it was just absolutely incredible. But on the day I had the operation, it's a very simple procedure. You have to, when you go to sleep, you have to wear goggles for 2 weeks, because what they do is they take part of the covering of your eye, and they make this little slice, and they pull the flap back, and then they laser your cornea, and then they put it back on top, and then you heal up. But they don't want you rubbing your eyes against your pillow or anything like that. Well, I woke up one morning, and my vision in my left eye was still great, 20/15. My right eye, it was so blurry. It was as if someone took a handful of Vaseline and stuffed it in my eye. I could not see out of it. And the first thing I thought about was, oh, my God, this flap that they had cut and put back on my eye was gone. Somehow it was gone. And how can you find it? You can't reattach something like that. And, I mean, it was just awful. So I called the ophthalmologist, and they said, look, can you drive to see us? And I went, yeah, okay, I'll try to do that. And so I'm driving with one eye open and the other one closed. I mean, it was that this distortion was so bad. It was incredible. And I got there and they looked and they said, no, everything's there. The flap's there. Everything's there. You probably somehow your eye dried out a little bit at night and it's going to take a while to hydrate it, but you'll be fine. And after about 6 hours, it was back to perfect again. But I got to tell you, scary thought. And, so if any of you ever get LASIK eye surgery, make sure you take those kind of precautions. But it really did work well for me. When I come right back, let's finish with the rest of the open line phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, just around the corner will be Dr. Nick Begich as we talk about mind control. But right now, it's you and me. To the phones we go, Wild Card Line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, George. It's Paul calling from Chino Hills.
Hey, Paul. What's new?
Just got back from China yesterday, and I've been going there for 9 years.
Business trip or just
business,
fun?
Business, yeah. It was my 58th trip in 9 years. I've noticed over the last couple of years, the energy problem there is unbelievable. And let me give you a magnitude of the scope. Right now, if you own a factory from Shanghai down to Guangdong province, which is just outside of Hong Kong, you're forced to go on a two-day shutdown of your factory. There's not enough power right now. And it's a pretty desperate situation. I know the media isn't covering it. But if you could imagine U.S. factories having to shut down for 2 days, it comes to reason why the Chinese government is trying to find the oil right now.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they're trying to buy the U.S. oil company, Unocal. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I hope we don't allow that to occur.
Well, it's up in the air. The other thing is the government is forbidding factories now to buy generators because of the diesel pollution.
Sure.
And
how are they going to solve this? Because they're getting bigger, and they're going to bust out of the seams pretty soon.
Well, right now they have two nukes under construction. and they're hoping to supplement some of that. But I don't know what they're going to do because there's more cars, more electrical energy that's being consumed, more factories, more exports.
Are they trying to look for alternative energy sources, specifically with their cars, for example? I had heard that General Motors was going to be working on a hybrid for them. I don't know why they don't do it for us.
Well, I can tell you there's absolutely no pollution abatement requirement right now. And the air quality in most of the major cities is pretty tough.
Would you say that conditions there are deplorable?
No, I wouldn't say they're deplorable. I'd say the conditions in China are actually, I think, better than what most Americans would really understand. I think the problem is that the strain on their economy by having to shut your production down 2 days a week is really going to create a major strain on the bidding for oil between ourselves and the United States.
Oh, that's a good point. All right, thanks for that perspective.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. You know, it's kind of nice sometimes to just get a view from somebody who's been there and, you know, firsthand. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, this is Liz.
Hey, Liz.
Calling from Tempe, Arizona, although I grew up in Royal Oak.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes, I did.
13 Mile and Woodward area.
13
right?
And Maine.
I know that.
Yeah. Kimball.
Royal Oak's a great town.
Yeah, I graduated in 67, so I think I'm like half a year older than you.
Well, you sound much younger than me.
Well, I've got a cold right now. This really isn't my voice. So, listen, I just wanted to kind of throw something into the mix. I don't know if anybody is aware of what's going on astrologically, but 5 a.m. California time is the new moon. And the sun's in Cancer, and when it's the new moon, that means the sun and the moon are both in the same sign, and they're conjunct. Cancer is one of the most sensitive signs. It rules the home and family, and it's just a very emotional time. So I can kind of understand, you know, when you're talking about what you're going through today, how upsetting it is. But I just wanted to know, the new moon is like a new beginning.
Well, I got you. Well, it's also earthquake time, too, according to
yes,
Jim
possibly,
Brooklyn.
Yeah, a lot of things happen at the new moon. It's the time of new beginnings. I used to work in a hospital, and we used to get a lot of, the nursery would be empty, and either on the new moon or the full moon, the nursery would be completely empty. You come into work the next day, you got all these babies. And as much as you want to think that the babies are going to come more in the full moon, they actually come in the new moon. But I'm off the subject here because I don't know how much longer I've got to talk. It's just so funny that I actually got through. I'm sort of in shock.
Time's up. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. But George, I was trying desperately to get in touch with you last year in the fall. I found this paper. I was just walking down the street, and I found this. It was like three typewritten pages, Xeroxed, from some guy in L.A. called FreedomWriter.com. Have you heard of this guy?
I have not.
Oh, my God. It was like so much. I started to read. I couldn't even read the whole thing. It was so much.
What do you mean you found it?
I was staggering down the street trying to get to my caffeine one morning. And
it was just like blowing around and you grabbed it?
It looked like, across the street, it just looked like trash. It looked like an empty paper roll or something. And I thought, I don't know, something made me pick it up. And it was like the most intense, oh, my God, it's like all the stuff about the Nazis and the Vatican. And here's what I want to throw in. It says that the Chinese are systematically murdering the microbiologists in preparation for a biological attack.
Look, Stephen Quayle and I believe somebody is murdering microbiologists.
This guy, he's involved with some church, this FreedomWriter.com. You can try to get through on the Internet. He said that his website is tampered with. He's got some kind of church in L.A., it's kind of quirky. I'm not really sure.
Okay. Thanks for the update.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. God bless you.
Appreciate you being a part of the program. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks.
Yeah, this guy, I'm over here in Howell, Indiana, driving down the road.
Well, you know what? If you just continue to go west a little bit to Fowlerville, I used to have a little farm there.
Oh, okay,
oh, no,
yeah.
No. You said Indiana. I'm thinking Michigan.
I'm on my way to I'm on my way to Waterloo, Iowa.
Well, good for you. What's up?
Okay, I got a question. If this has ever happened to you, you're driving on a road or you're at the store or something like this, and you see this exact moment. You've seen it before. You remember it. You remember the people being in the same place, the same shirts. It's almost like a deja vu.
And you even know what's going to happen.
Exactly. And I'm trying to figure it out. What does that mean? Or What was that? Just, I mean, I don't know.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's the brain playing tricks with you and somehow it's recording things a little later after you see things and, you know, you're like out of sync for a little bit. I don't know if you're looking at another time warp or dimension that things are going on very similarly to what's happening to you on this existence. There's all kinds of weird things going on, you know, but I don't think it's biological. I don't think it's part of your brain, but that is a possibility too.
Exactly.
And it happens to all of us.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe I was just weird or something, but you know how that goes. My wife, she deals with Siamese rescue.
Yeah.
And we've had a total of the last 2 years, we've had 35 Siamese cats that we've found homes for.
Good for you. What a great service.
And it's unbelievable, you know, that how many people would actually, you know, travel, because we live in Ohio, they would travel from New Hampshire or Maine, and they would actually travel to Tiffin to come over to get the cats.
That's great.
To bring them home.
Little donation fee, or are they free?
A little small donation fee, but they're up to date on their shots, dental, they're fit to go.
Good for you, too. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye. I tell you what, though, this is a bizarre couple weeks for me. You know, as you know, high energy, positive thinking all the time. This one's been tough. Before I went on vacation, I'm on Ventura, stopped in traffic, of course. What else? I get rear-ended by an unlicensed driver who plows into me $4,000 in damage. They don't have insurance either, by the way. And I'm going, this is like 2 days before I'm supposed to leave Dodge, right? And I'm going, how could this happen? Now I'm back in St. Louis and I've got a car there and I'm driving along and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm a couple days from getting back to Los Angeles. I have this bizarre feeling something's going to happen to this car. In 10 minutes after that, and I had the premonition about the car accident in Los Angeles, in 10 minutes, a rock comes flying off some truck, and it hits my windshield, and it cracks it all the way down. Now, I have to call my insurance company, and I just had talked to them a week ago, and like they know my first name now. And, you know, the deductible does not handle the windshield because, you know, the deductible, I carry a high deductible. I always have. And so I have to replace that out of pocket. And they did it the next morning. And then I came back to LA on the weekend. So I got that done. And then all these other things are going on. And I'm saying, what is happening? And I'm wondering if you are having the same strange things happening to you. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Alexandria, Louisiana.
Okay. Well, you're right in the middle of the storms, aren't you?
Well, we're sort of in the middle of the state. That's way down on the Gulf.
Not yet. Are you going to get hit, though? Is it headed your way?
It'll probably hit us, yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck. What's up?
My name is Chance. I wanted to ask, what happened to the Bigfoot Roundtable last week? Weren't y'all supposed to have that on Thursday night, I believe?
The Bigfoot Roundtable? No, I had a Bigfoot Roundtable several weeks ago.
Oh.
You know what? A lot of stations will take our programs and sometimes rerun them. I bet that's probably what you thought was going to happen. But that was, what was it, Dan? At least a month ago, wasn't it? With the cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman, Tom Biscardi, and some other people. That was a great program, by the way. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. First of all, I want to say I'm sorry about your son's puppy. It's really sad.
Oh, no, it's not my son's puppy. It's my friend's puppy.
Oh,
it's
okay.
My son's college that he decided he didn't want to go to the police academy anymore.
Well, that's what I was calling about. There's a Spanish saying that roughly translated means there's no bad that eventually doesn't come to any good, that eventually doesn't come bring good.
There's always a reason, I think, yeah, for something.
And with his criminal justice background, he could be a paralegal and maybe go to law school. He could work TV news or he could do newspaper.
Yeah, you know, I told him, yeah, I've always suggested things to him. And again, I never push him in any direction. But I told him, I said, hey, you know what? Let's maximize that name you have in St. Louis. Go into broadcasting. He's got a great voice. And for 23, he sounds a little bit like me. It's pretty close. And, you know, everybody knows me in St. Louis. So, you know, it's a good way for him just to get established. He may still do that. And, or, you know, he could be a police reporter or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And if he has a voice like yours, he'll have a big following.
Well, at least two.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, appreciate it. We've still got some time here. West of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Marlene.
Hi, Marlene. Marlene, you sound like Sylvia Brown.
That's who I would like to get in touch with because I'm a little bit psychic. And what I need to know is if you have a number where I could call and talk to somebody when I get these psychic things.
Well, now, like a Sylvia Brown?
Well, I've tried calling her, and I tried calling the Montel Williams show.
Well, that's pretty tough to get into them.
Yeah, I can't get through. Anyway, what I wanted to say was last night I had a dream, and you know the Shasta and Dillon Grown in Ohio?
Yeah.
Well, the dream I had told me that, and I saw this thing on TV, and they said they didn't know why anybody went in there and killed him.
Horrible story.
Yeah, well, what I was told in the dream was that it was the man, the boyfriend, and that he was doing some kind of forgeries on cars, and that he was connected with a gang. And I don't know if you've ever heard of 609. That's what I kept getting. But anyway, he did a forgery on a car, and it didn't work for them. He fucked it up. Excuse me.
Yeah, you gotta watch this. Gotta watch the language. But we got you. First time caller line. Welcome to the air. Hi there.
Hi George. My name is Dawn. I'm calling from Kennewick, Washington.
Hi. Welcome.
I want to say thank you for your show.
Well, you are quite welcome. Thanks for participating.
Oh, not a problem. Hey, I've got a wonderful little story for you about a baby and a bobcat. But I want to tell your listeners, do not try this. Oh, I've been raising exotic cats.
Don't do this at home.
Do not do this at home. I have a beautiful bobcat by the name of Rook Ignatius Montana, and when my baby was 3 weeks old, I had to introduce her to him. Now, every time I do a letter or something, I have a little bobcat paw print that I put on, stamp on, and say, bobcat approved. Well, when I walked up and brought the baby to the bobcat, he did the exact same thing. He took his paw through, put it through the cage and stamped her right on the forehead.
Oh.
And we have never been able to get him to reduplicate that for a picture.
No.
It was absolutely adorable.
It was one of those Kodak moments.
Exactly. And we missed it. We were too busy laughing.
You know, I wish you could have had that. It would have been great on our website.
It was adorable. I wanted to give you an adorable animal story to kind of compensate for the
sad
story.
We could use that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's move on to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there. Hello.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine, sir.
Hey, I just want to let you know, you are an idol and a god among men, sir.
Well, no, I don't think so, but thank you for the compliment.
Well, hey, I was going to call and tell you an animal story because the story related earlier about the coyote really tugged the heartstrings. And then you had to go and mention car premonitions. And I have such a good story for you. I'm torn. Which one do you want?
Well, whatever you do, I got to have it within a minute.
All right.
Because I'm right up against the top of the hour. Go.
Real quick version. About 8 years ago, I was in Hollywood, just graduated from UC Berkeley with an honors degree in geology, so naturally I moved down to Hollywood to write children's cartoons, and the way I paid the bills was as a dog walker to the stars, and I got a gig house-sitting and pet-sitting for about 6 weeks for a rather well-known producer, now not a director, so not necessarily a household name.
Right.
Certainly, you're from Hollywood. You know what it's like. A household name within the industry. And this guy had four cats and a couple dogs that I was watching, and they were all really low maintenance except for this one cat. And he just said, you know, this is the one guy. He just can't go outside. He's an inside cat. This guy lived kind of up by Coldwater Canyon, up in the hills.
Yeah.
You know, lots of coyotes. And sure enough, I was just as careful as could be, and one day, about 3 weeks into this assignment, I open the door, coming in, and he just shoots out.
Oh.
And then followed about 2 weeks of me going through various hijinks and antics. Geez, I was stressing out at the time, but it's all funny in hindsight.
I got 10 seconds. Tell me, did he come back?
Okay, live traps, all that. Finally, the day before he comes home, I found the carcass of the cat.
It
was bitten by a coyote.
What a downer. Another downer. I'll be back in a moment.